So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, get ready, because we're going to be flipping around a little bit today. God's been, He always does, but He's just been heavy on my heart this week for this passage, and He always takes me in a little bit different route, sometimes in a total different route than I thought it would have gone, or when I just do my personal reading, when I really sit down and just really pick apart and just really concentrate and meditate and spend time with God, just talking about just a few verses. It's amazing what He reveals to us when we do that. Amen? So we're going to jump around a little bit today, and a lot of times I'm guilty of just saying, reading some scripture, and we don't want to tie everybody up. We don't want to be here long. The preacher feels that pressure not to preach too long. But y'all are in for it today. So if you find Matthew chapter 18, I want you to mark that. Or if you know where it is, your Bible's probably already used to opening into Matthew. But I also want you to find a couple other verses. So if you can write them down, whatever, Ephesians, or a couple other chapters. Ephesians chapter 2. Because we're actually going to go there today, and I'm going to resist the urge to rush through that. We're going to go to some other passages today. So Ephesians chapter 2, find that. And then I want you to find Romans chapter 7 and Galatians 2. Now, I know that's a lot, all right? Ephesians 2, Romans 7, and Galatians 2. So I'm going to give you just a few seconds to kind of find those and maybe put a little marker in there somewhere. Matthew 18, 12 through 14 is where we're going to be today. The sermon title is The One and the 99. The One and the 99. I love to hear the pages turning, so I'm not going to rush you. We're just going to wait. Find that, because when we get to rolling, I don't want to stop. I've already got mine marked. I cheated. I already knew what was coming. Ephesians 2, Romans 7, and Galatians 2. Today we're going to be reading in our passage of actually in Matthew, we're going to be reading one of the most famous parables, or the most well-known parables that Jesus shared. And this parable is that of the lost sheep, and it holds a powerful message for the unbeliever, for the person who's never accepted Jesus Christ. It's a great message for a person who feels that they're too lost. It's a great message for a person who feels like they're too unclean, or they're too dirty, or their background is too ungodly. And they've listened to the lies that tell them that God would never have them or never accept them, and they're not good enough for God. But this parable also holds a powerful message for us as believers who have wandered back into our old sinful nature. So we know the truth. We've accepted Christ. We know what joy and salvation and all those things feel like, about feeling like we're a child of God and accepted into God's kingdom, having the Holy Spirit fill our lives, but we all too often slip back into our old ways. This would be somebody who's called on the name of Christ for forgiveness. They believe in their hearts. They've confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, but they've been backsliding and falling back into their old sinful nature. This parable is also going to speak to this person if you're here today and you relate with that. And lastly, this parable holds a powerful message for those people who have already given their life to follow Christ. Maybe they're active in their faith right now. They're active in the body of Christ. This may be the person who's been a faithful church member for years, or maybe even a new believer who's just on fire for God right now. You just feel like, man, you're at the best place you've ever been in your faith. There's a powerful message for this person today as well when we go through these couple verses. So before we read this passage today, before I preach what God has laid upon my heart, each one of us needs to be honest with ourselves. I love how God works. We had a Bible devotion this morning, and normally I'm late on it, but this morning I actually read the one that was for today that we do on the Bible app. And it was talking about that. It was talking about having somebody to share and confess your sins and your needs and being real about your struggles that you go through. And somebody even commented on it. This was kind of a check yourself devotion. So before we get started, we need to check ourselves this morning. Each one of us need to be honest before God, just between you and God this morning. And we need to figure out which person you are today. Which person am I today? When I came in this morning, sitting here right now in this moment, who are you? Number one, are you the person who is lost? The person who has never given their life to Christ. It doesn't mean you haven't heard about Christ. It doesn't mean that you're not a church. I'm talking you've never given your heart to Christ. Number two, are you the person who believes in Christ? The person who has called on the name of Jesus for forgiveness of your sins? But you know you've slipped back into your old ways, wandering away from Christ. Now, if that's you today, you don't need a preacher to tell you that because you know. You know if you're lost. You know if you don't have a relationship with Christ. And you know that if you had a relationship with Christ or you have one with Him and you've slipped back away from Him, you know it this morning. We need to be honest with ourselves. And number three, are you that person who is faithfully following Christ today? So maybe you came in here this morning and you're on a spiritual high. Maybe you've had a great week with God. You've spent time alone with Him. You feel like, well, this really doesn't relate to me because I've had a great week. And I really feel like I've been in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I've just been following God. And I've been spending time in God's Word. I've been praying. Maybe you're actively striving to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead you into ways and to lead you away from different things. Maybe you've been a faithful church member, an active part of the body of Christ. You've been secure in your faith. You know your eternity is secure. Which one are you? Which person best describes you today? Which person describes me today? So before we read this passage, we're going to have just a short moment of silence. And I just want us to be quiet for a moment where we can each evaluate ourselves and see what person we are today. Am I the lost sheep? Have I wandered away from Christ? Or am I that person who is secure in my faith and I'm that 99? So let's just bow our heads for just a second and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And let's just evaluate our heart and let God speak to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes we get so busy with life. We get so busy with our plans. We get so busy even maybe serving in the church. We get so busy going to work and decorating and cooking and getting ready for the holiday seasons and doing all of our to-do lists, God, that we forget to do what we just did right there and just be still before You. God, my prayer today, and You know this, is that through that little time of silence, and through the time that we preach and we talk about Your Word, God, that You would speak to the hearts of not some that are here today, but each person individually today. Just as You've spoken to my heart this week, just as You're going to speak to me while I'm preaching up here this morning, God, that we would allow You to speak to our heart today. When we walk out of here today, we will be thankful for our good, good Father. And we can really say why we're thankful for our good, good Father. Lord, be with us today. Now let us just spend this time focusing on You. Put everything else aside and focus on Your truth and Your sweet, sweet promises You give us in Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's read Matthew 18. If you want to flip there, let's go to Matthew 18. And we're just going to be in verse 12, 13, and 14. And keep this marked. We're going to have it up on the wall there. But we're going to go. What I want to do today is I want to go through this passage several times, and we're going to talk about how it relates to each one of those people who I know are here today. You know what I believe in my heart that there is somebody here today who is lost, who has never accepted Christ. And I believe there's somebody here, probably many of us, who feel like we've been backsliding. And there's probably many, I know there's many people who are secure in their faith and who are actively following God. So we're going to go through and we're going to talk about each one of them. So don't tune out on this and don't take it and make the scripture what you want it to hear. Let God tell you what He wants you to hear through the reading of His Word. Amen? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. What a great promise. So before we start today, I want to attempt to show today what God has laid on my heart. And for each person that's here today, I want to show us that Jesus has a message for each one of us. So let's jump right into the first person today. Let's think about that first person, that lost person This would be the person that you do simply not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about just knowing who He is, but I'm talking about knowing Him on a personal level. You've never had that moment with Christ where you felt Him calling you and you accepted His gift of salvation. Look at verse 12 again. It says this, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders astray, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out and search for the one that is lost?" So if you are here today and you've never experienced the joy of salvation, if you've never experienced the peace of being forgiven by a just and a holy God, if you've never really had that peace and that assurance, this passage holds a great promise for you this morning. I want to tell you this. Jesus came to this world, and He tells us this in this passage, specifically for you. For you as an individual. For me as an individual. Christ came for you. His purpose for coming to earth was for you. His purpose for dying on the cross was for you. This is the person who's lost. I'm telling you this morning, God is telling us this morning, Jesus Himself told us in the Word, His purpose for overcoming death was specifically for you as an individual. Well, yeah, I've heard that before, Pastor. I've heard all that before, but you don't know what I struggle with. You don't know my past. I'm not one of those church-going people. Or I've been in the church my whole life, and people would they would throw me out if they knew the things that I struggled with. You know what? We might not know what you're going through. We might not know all the things in your past. But I'm going to promise you today, the Lord knows it. The Lord knows exactly what you're doing. The Lord knows what's in your heart. He knows the mess that we get ourselves into. He knows how weak we really are. In fact, did you know when Jesus calls us sheep, that's not meant as a compliment. Okay? Now, sheep are cute and they're fluffy and all that, but they're pretty dumb. All right? And so if I'm talking to you this morning, don't get up and leave because I'm not calling you dumb. We're all in that boat. All right? They're easily led astray and they don't make good decisions. That's why they need a shepherd. There's a video, and I almost made them put it in the slideshow today, but that's just too much and it would probably go wrong or whatever just because we're trying out a new system. But some of you may have seen it. There's a little viral like 20-second clip on YouTube of this sheep that's stuck down in the ditch. Head first, and he's stuck down this little trench. Looked like they were going to bury an electric line or something. This little sheep is head first in this trench, and these kids are pulling up on they're pulling up on this little. And they go through this like awesome rescue mission to get this little like sheep out of there, and they get him out, and they're all going, "Yay, we got him out!" They let him go, and it jumps and it takes a couple hops, and it dives right back in. Has anybody ever seen that? I mean, I've had a couple people share it to me and stuff, and it's funny. But this is exactly how we as humans are by nature. Anybody else? Is that just me? Or is anybody else, can they relate to that? We're so easily led into temptation. We're so easily to let ourselves, get into all kinds of trouble, to let us fall into Satan's trap. We know time and time again where it leads to, and we still fall into it. As soon as God pulls us out the ditch, we run and jump right back in it. And we end up lost and afraid. We end up ashamed and alone and isolating ourselves. But this passage tells us that not only is Jesus, not only is He our shepherd, but Christ tells us that He will leave the 99 just for you. It's intimate. It's special. It's personal. And that's the God that created us. That's the God who loves us because He cares about you and you and you and me. We have to believe that this morning, and we have to accept that this morning. If you are that one this morning, Christ is telling you through this passage that He will rejoice over you more than those who are already saved. So when you say, "Well, I'm not good enough for church. I'm not good enough to serve in the church. I'm not good enough to come before God." Let me tell you something. Jesus is telling you this morning that guess what? When one sinner turns to God, when he finds one lost person and they return to Him or they come to Him for the first time, He is more happy and heaven rejoices more over you personally than all those people who are already Christians and missionaries and mighty preachers and mighty people of God. He rejoices more over you personally than those who are already saved. Because He tells us that God's will for you is for you to turn to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. God's will for you is that you would have peace, that you would have joy in your life, in your heart. God's will for you is that you would spend eternity with Him in heaven. Now, if you've got Ephesians chapter 2, let's go there, and we're going to read that. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses, 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I just want us to listen to this because God laid this on my heart as I was studying this. And we have to remember the promises that are here. And really listen to what God, let's not just read through it. Listen to what God says. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander and the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. So if you're here today and you say, well, man, I do feel isolated because I feel like everybody here is got it all figured out and I don't. It says all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Verse 4 goes on to say this, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could do things that He planned for us long ago. You see, this scripture tells me, along with the passage that we're in today in Matthew, that Christ is actively looking for you right now. Christ is searching for you right now. So if you're that person, that lost, that unsaved person that's here today, this passage is your invitation from God to be found in Christ, not tomorrow, not next week, not after you fix a couple things, today. And if you walk out of this place today and you feel God tugging at your heart and you feel that conviction and you feel that draw, the Holy Spirit calling you there, and you refuse to obey and listen to it and accept the gift that God is presenting before you and that He is promising and that we are talking about today, it's going to be your fault that you didn't accept the gift, and it's going to be your fault. And you can't blame anybody else that you didn't accept what God laid out right on front of you in a silver platter. He made it so easy for you. Let's look at the second person who made it, who may be here today, who I believe is here today. And that person has been part of the 99. So they've accepted Christ. They've been part of it, but they've wandered back off away from the flock. Let's go back through this passage and let's see what God is telling you specifically. Again, we're talking to each person today. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to each person. And God wants to speak to you individually. Look at verse 12. It says that Jesus has 100 followers. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but 99 and 1, that's 100, right? All right, so that's 100 followers, and you, just you, go astray. Just you walk off for a little while. Out of all the great Christians in the world and all the great people in the world, Anthony Clore goes astray. This scripture tells us that Christ will leave the 99 and come looking for me. Isn't that sweet? Now, it's very similar. And it's very, you know, it's right, goes along with person number one who's lost. But there's a big difference in these two people that are here today that need, and we need to hear that. And the difference is called the Holy Spirit. You see, if somebody has really called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and to be their Lord and their Savior of their life, God promises us that He has given you His Spirit to dwell in you, to live in you. So there's a big difference between somebody who is totally lost and does not have the Holy Spirit and somebody who has the Holy Spirit but has wandered astray. Romans 8:11 says this, The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Now, this is specifically talking to you, the person who knows Christ, who loves the law of God, who loves God and is thankful for Jesus, but has fallen back into that old way. He says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. You see, the Holy Spirit is God's seal for a believer. It's God's guarantee for a believer, reminding you that you belong to God. You no longer belong to the world, you belong to God. Ephesians 1:14, you can go there if you want, but I'm just going to quote this real quick and read it. It says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit is God's guarantee. Now some translations say it's a seal. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance that He promised, that He purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. So simple. God gives us the Holy Spirit, so we always have that guarantee. When we start doubting, when we fall away, and we feel the Spirit calling us, that's God saying, you're mine, Anthony. Quit messing into the world. Get back from that. Get out of that trench. I just pulled you out of there. Why are you going back to that? So if I belong to God and His Spirit dwells in my heart, and I've wondered, and you have wondered back into your old sinful nature, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be miserable outside the flock. You are going to be miserable when you have God's Spirit living in you, but yet you're choosing to live a sinful life. Even if the sin that you fell back into gives you great pleasure, you know it. I know it. The Bible teaches it. It's only temporary, and it won't be long before you're right back in that place of misery, stuck down in the ditch, wondering, why did I do this? Why did I jump back in the ditch? You see, the Spirit is like that tracking device. That little beacon. It's like that GPS pinging your location for God, right? And Christ will come looking for you, calling for you, searching for you, hoping that you will return. But so often there's a problem that prevents us from returning to Christ, returning to our shepherd. You see, we have to make sure that we are listening for His voice when He calls for us. If we're just like, He'll let us ignore Him because He loves us and He wants our hearts. When we slip back into the ditch and we fall, we're running towards the ditch maybe. God's saying, Anthony, don't do that. Don't go there. Remember what had happened to you last time. That's not for you. You're supposed to be clean from all that. You're a new creation. But so often we say, I know, but I really want to get back in that ditch. I really want to go try and see what it's like. Maybe this time in the ditch it'll be better. And we have to be willing to cut off, gouge out, just like we talked about last week. Whatever's leading us astray and allow Jesus to bring us back to the flock. John 10:27 says this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Again, if we listen to the Holy Spirit that's actually trying to draw us and call us back to God when we start to wonder, we start to backslide out of our Christian life. This passage today gives us a sweet, sweet promise that God rejoices over you individually running back to Him as your Heavenly Father. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? That's another really famous one. I would encourage you, Luke chapter 15, go back and read that today. Go back and read Luke chapter 15 and see what God has to tell us. It goes right along beside this. Jesus is telling you this, that if you have wandered back into your old sinful nature, He is out there waiting, looking for you to return, calling you, Anthony, come back. Come back to me. And your Heavenly Father is waiting to rejoice, just like the father of the prodigal son rejoiced and threw a festival when his prodigal son returned. Your Heavenly Father in heaven rejoices over your return. So much more than even those who have not gone astray. Why? Well, it all goes back to the last verse in our passage today. Look at verse 14. I told you we're going to jump all over the place, but look at Matthew 18:14. It says this. It says that it's not God's will that you would go astray or perish. So it's not God's will for anybody to go to hell. It's not God's will for anybody to suffer and be miserable. It's not God's will. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for you. Otherwise, He wouldn't have paid the high price of Christ coming and dying on the cross for you. So if you pulled away from the Lord lately, if you've fallen back into your old bad habits, if you what we like to call, you've fallen back into a life of sin, you too have to make a choice this morning. A choice to listen to the shepherd calling. That little still voice that says, Anthony, I'm right here. Why have you gone? Why did you return back out there away from the flock? Come back to the flock. We have to make that choice, or we'll make that choice to stay separated, to stay isolated, and be miserable. Now, if you've got Romans chapter 7 marked, I want you to go there. We're going to read that. Romans chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 21 through 25. So I'll give you just a second to find that. Because so often we put the pressure on ourselves, I think, and sometimes we end up, we're our own worst enemy. And we say, well, nobody else struggles with the things that I struggle with. Or maybe nobody else would understand what I go through. I'm going to tell you this morning, and we're going to look at it right here. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who did all kinds of mighty things for God. He understands. If none of us do, he'll understand. Listen to what he says in verse 27. He says, I've discovered this principle of life. And I love how God works, because this was in our Bible devotion this morning. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anybody else ever felt like that? Daggone it, I knew I shouldn't have done that, but I did it anyways. A lot of times that's things that I say. I'll say something to Jenny and I'm like, daggone it, why'd I say that? I should have just left it alone. But it's like that with God too. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. Thank God. Listen, somebody, listen. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. As long as you are here on this earth, as long as you are in this earthly body, you are going to struggle with sin. So somebody needs to hear that today and be encouraged. Now, again, like we talked about last week, that doesn't mean that we just say, oh, okay, I guess I'm just going to be a sinful person. That's not what it's saying. Again, you must make the choice to listen to the shepherd's voice calling you away from those things and calling you to him. And that's a choice we have to make. So if you're here and you've been backsliding, you feel like you've fallen back into your old ways, this should convict you today, but it should encourage you today that Jesus is waiting for you to come back. And that your Heavenly Father is going to rejoice when you simply come back and repent and say, God, I'm ready to come back to you. Forgive me. And let's look at the third and the last person that we see that I believe is here today. This is the person who's secure in their faith. They're on that spiritual high. Everything is going good in their spiritual life. This is the person who is a Christian and is actively striving to resist sin and follow Christ. So if that's you today, then you are the 99 in this parable, I believe. And that's what God has put a conviction on my heart. Again, look at verse 12. We're going to look at it again. Look at verse 12 in the passage that ran in Matthew 18. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out and search for the one who is lost? So the first thing that jumps out to me about you, if you're the 99, about me, if I'm the 99, everybody knows which person we kind of relate with this morning. Once you are secure, remember, I'm not saying once we, I'm saying you. Once you are saved, once you accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, it's no longer about you. Now somebody needs to hear that this morning. We are entitled people. We are entitled Christians and especially in this country. Once you are the 99, it is no longer about you. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've been on the membership roll at this church or another church, no matter how much money you put in the offering plate, no matter how much you serve in the church, how much time you spend, none of that matters, because it's no longer about you. It's about God. And it's about what Christ did for you on the cross. That's why you do those things. So all those things are good. We should faithfully give our money. We should give a lot and give out to our heart. I'm not preaching on giving today. I'm not trying to get more money in the offering plate. But we should give. We should serve in the church. We should be a part and a member of the church and be faithful to serve. All these things are what a good Christian should do, a Christ follower should do, but you should do it for the Lord and for His glory. Because it's no longer about you. It's no longer about you. It's about Christ, and it's about the mission of Christ, and it's about what our purpose is as a Christian. You should do it out of a worship, out of the worship of your heart, of the one and only God who loved you while you were yet still a sinner, who died for you while you were still a sinner. Galatians chapter 2. Turn there with me. We're going to read just one little verse there. And I want us to flip there. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. What an image. My old nature, my old self. My old sinful ways, my old prideful ways have been crucified on the cross with Christ. He goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he says, I know it's no longer I who lives. It's no longer about me. It's all about Christ. It's all about what Christ did for me. And I remember just a few years ago, I think Paul was leading the study. Paul Byer was leading the study, and we watched a video. And I don't remember what the guy's name was. I don't remember, you know, how long ago it was, maybe 2 years ago or something. I think it was pre-COVID. Isn't that awful? That's how we have to timeline everything. But I remember being in watching this video in Wednesday night Bible study. And it was a missionary who was talking about how God had laid, he wasn't bragging about it. He said, this is what God has called me to. God had called him to minister and to go serve in the darkest, most dangerous, most heavily persecuted places on the earth. He was a guy that was there where people, Christians, were actively being killed, where he himself was at the risk of dying. And he referred to this parable and that message, and it's always stuck with me. What he said has always stuck with me. It's one of those things, I wrote it in my Bible, and it just has always impacted me. He said, once I'm saved, once I'm a Christian, I become the 99, and it's no longer about me. And he went on to say this, once I am saved, I should be expendable for the kingdom of God. What a powerful comment and a conviction that this guy, and revelation that this guy had. Once he said, but what this missionary was basically saying, he's saying, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, right? It's no longer about me. It's about what God did for me for all eternity. My life is his now. I should be expendable for the kingdom of God. Now, before we go on, this doesn't mean that once you're saved, and I don't want you to get this idea that God doesn't care about you anymore, that God abandoned you. Okay, that's not what Jesus is saying, and that's not what I'm saying. In fact, when a shepherd would leave his flock to go after those lost sheep, you know what he would do before he left them? He would take them up on this thick, high, this pasture that was just plush and thick and just ready for them to have a place to lay down. Or you know that song where it says, what, he leads me to green pastures by still waters? This is what a shepherd would do. They would leave their flock and they would go search for the lost sheep. But they would leave them up high on a mountain where they were safe in this thick pasture where they could lay down and hide from predators. And they could also have plenty to eat. They would be comfortable. They would be surrounded. They'd be up on that mountaintop. They would have the advantage. They'd be safe. He would lead them to a place where they were secure. So we have to understand that the Lord cares for the 99. So if that's you today, just because the missionary, or just because we're talking about being expendable and it's no longer I who lives, no longer about us, God still cares about you and He knows that you are safe and secure. So that's what He already knows. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're already in that pasture. You've already got a place to hide. You've already got plenty of food for your soul. You've got everything you need for all eternity. Therefore, His top priority is to find that one sheep that is lost. And we should simply follow His example. You see, if I'm the 99 today, if you personally are the 99 today, I should be more concerned about one lost person than I am about me and my comfort and my safety. I should be more focused on the one lost sheep than I am about being recognized by the other 98. So if I'm 99 out of 100, the one's gone astray, I should be more focused on that one than I am than what does everybody else in the 98 think about me? Or what do they think about, or do they appreciate me? If you're part of the 99 today, you are to be more concerned about how to find that one lost than you are about anything else in the church. Again, look at verse 13 and 14 in the text today. We're going to read through these again. Because sometimes we just hearing the word of God is so powerful. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one little one should perish. See, as we close today, as the choir comes back, I'll ask the choir to come back up. They're going to lead us in our closing hymn. I want to leave you with this. And they're going to be coming up and everything, but I want you to listen. Listen to this and don't get me distracted today. Because I want to leave you with this. If you are that one lost sheep today that we talked about at the very beginning, that if that's who you relate with, this is what you need to do today. Repent of your sin and turn to God. It's that simple. Make a choice today to say, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow God. If you're the Christian that's fallen back into sin, that's backslid, back off, and you know you haven't been close to the Lord, you've been dipping back into that old, you've been jumping back into the ditch where he's already rescued you from, this is what you need to do. You need to repent of your sin, and you need to turn to God. Are you seeing a pattern here? And you simply come back to God, and you humble yourself before him, and you say, I've messed up. Maybe you're the 99. Maybe you're that person that is the 99 who's been faithfully serving and everything's going well, but you've been a little too focused on yourself and your wants and your needs and what you think should happen or what you think would be easier for you. Well, I'm going to give you something to fix that problem too. Repent of your sins and come to God and you say, God, I've been prideful and I've been stuck on myself. God, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's no longer about me, God. Forgive me. Show me how to really be concerned. Break my heart for what breaks yours. You see, God cares about you personally today. Now, normally I would like to preach and I say we, because I don't want to look like I'm pointing my finger at anybody else. But God is speaking specifically to you today, to me today. God cares about you personally. God will rejoice over you personally today. So as the choir sings this morning, let's listen to the shepherd's voice calling. And let's do what he's calling us to do. It could be to call us to call on the name of Jesus for the first time. It could be to maybe just to come back and return to him. Or it could be to make a new commitment to be more focused on the lost than we are on ourselves. Amen? If there's anything that I can pray for you about or pray with you about, I would invite you to come as the choir sings, as we sing hymn number 447. Sing with them. Stand as we sing and come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.